Welcome to a Thursday edition of the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Roberts, and in today's show, we're going to continue our series where we look around at the different NBA teams and identify players that you should be building your fantasy roster around, look at the players that you should be stashing on your bench, and also look at the players that need to probably be dropped in standard leagues. Tell me with that today, I am joined by Tyler Watts. Tyler, this is the second time you and I have done this. Last time, who did we look at last time? The Hornets and the
Celtics.
Celtics, that's right.
It was the Nets, though.
And then yesterday, Daniel and Mike went over three teams for us. They went over the Bulls, the Mavericks, and the – who was the other one?
The Bulls and Cavs.
Cavs. So we're going to start off with the Nuggets today. We're going to go from there. We're going to try to get through three or four more teams and help you decide who you should be building your team around and maybe who you can move on from. But first, Tyler, I've got a pretty interesting thing that happened in the NBA tonight I want to share with you, get your thoughts on. All right, so right before the Blazers game tonight, CJ McCollum was doing his pregame thing. He was getting ready. And then up on the Blazers scoreboard, the indicated starter was no longer CJ McCollum. It was Allen Crabbe. And people started to wonder, like, did something happen where McCollum got in trouble and he got benched? Is there an injury that we don't know about? And here's what happened. The Blazers say a clerical error was made pregame in the inactive list. And so CJ McCollum was listed as inactive. And apparently how that happens is, this might be more information than you want to know, but I thought it was kind of interesting. So their trainer, Jeff Clark, traditionally brings Stotts a sheet of the Blazers roster, and then he circles all of the active players, and then Jeff Stotts is from RotoWire. Terry Stotts signs the sheet and turns it in. And apparently on the sheet, Luis Montero was circled and CJ McCollum was not circled. So the Blazers realized this. And this is where it kind of gets interesting. The Blazers realized this error and then tried to work with the league to correct it. And they thought that they did. But Clippers, the team they're playing, which is the Los Angeles Clippers, some of their people went and protested. They were in front of the locker room actively protesting how the Blazers made the correction. So McCollum was inactive, and then he was listed as active, and then because of the Clippers' protest, he went back to being inactive. So what practically happened on the court was CJ McCollum was dressed and on the bench in uniform but was inactive, and Luis Montero, who has been inactive all season and who was in street clothes, was technically active for the game. Kind of crazy, right?
There's so many things I want to say about this. The first one is in 2016, okay, how in the world can we not find a better way to do the inactives than I get the trainer, which why does the trainer have to print off the paper? Why can't like any one of the assistants bring the paper? Yeah. Okay. Then I circle names with a pen and then I take it to whoever it needs to be taken to. Doesn't this seem like the craziest thing in the world to you? Like, who does this anymore?
And apparently once you circle the names and sign it, like, that's it. That's final.
Number two thing I got is, okay, like, Montero and McCollum. Like, how does one mess that up?
I guess they're probably next to each other, right?
Right, and like, so
they're both M names.
But one starts with an MC, right? And the other one starts with an MO? Like, yeah. I mean, like, okay, I get, maybe you just weren't paying attention.
You just can't make this mistake. Like, you can't just not have your second leading scorer because you made a clerical error.
Because you circled the wrong name with a ballpoint pen.
This is the equivalent of like a high schooler forgetting his jersey.
It really is.
Like, this is bad. This is bad for the Blazers.
And then how do you work it out with the league that he can play? And then all of a sudden, that doesn't work out anymore. Like, if you were
sort of poor form by the, I guess we don't know. And all the reporting that I just shared was from Jason Quick, who was like an excellent NBA reporter. And he did clarify, and he said he didn't know if the Clippers were protesting or fighting the decision, but they were actively debating the correction. So I don't know why the Clippers should care. I mean,
well, the Clippers wanted to win. That's why.
Yeah, but if you can't beat a team with their best players, like, what's the point of playing the game?
Well, you don't have one of your best players, so I guess you feel like it's even then.
Yeah, but that's because he's injured, not because somebody circled the wrong name on a sheet of paper. Well,
like, I mean, I guess I sort of get it from the Clippers' perspective. Like, okay, they're winning 43-29 right now, in-game update.
I feel like it's bad karma, though. Like, if you're trying to hold them to ticky-tacky rules.
All right, I get that. Like, rules are rules. But at the same time, like, why wouldn't you just be like, all right, let's let him play, man. He's fine. He's healthy.
That's what I'm saying.
Like just let him go.
Yeah, like, we want to beat the Blazers and then not to have an excuse for us beating them.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know.
Except for now they can say you went and cried to the league and told on us like two little kids.
Crazy stuff. Apparently this all happened in 2014 with Danny Granger. So it's not unprecedented, but it's been a long time.
Does he circle the names on a piece of paper with a pen too, or?
No, he was a player. he got left off the list.
They just admitted him. No, we didn't want him to play tonight. He's out.
So I guess this is where it gets interesting. You want to know who he was playing for when that happened? He was playing for the Clippers. So maybe they're just, more than anything, maybe they're just upset that this happened to them at some point and they couldn't have Danny Granger play. And now it happens to another team and they were going to get the player be able to play. So they just want fair. That makes a little more sense, actually.
Sounds like sour grapes to me.
Yeah. I think they're just saying, yeah, if we couldn't play Danny Granger 2 years ago, why do they get to play CJ McCollum today? But the truth of the matter is, like, there are probably some fans who came to see CJ McCollum, you know?
Right, and that's who ultimately, like, I mean,
yeah,
that's who ultimately misses out on this.
Yeah, those are the losers, or the fans that care about CJ McCollum, if there are any. I guess he probably has, like, his own specific fans at this point, right?
Hey, he played for a college relatively close to where I live.
Are there CJ McCollum fans in the area?
Oh, my Lord. Like, when he played for Lehigh, there were people who went nuts for him because he was, like, the only good player on the team. And they made the tournament that year, right?
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get back into, like I said, we're going to continue our series here going through each NBA team. Again, the setup here is basically we're roughly 40% through the NBA season or the fantasy season. And we basically know who every player is this season so far. Like, there aren't going to be any more surprises. And so now that we have a better read on the stats that each player is going to put up and the opportunities that their coaches are going to give them, it's time to really transition from the point of the season where you're just trying to pick up high potential players and get them on your team and kind of transition to the point where you're building a team that can win in the playoffs, or if you're in a rotisserie league, that can win the categories that you need to win. So we're going to be taking a look, like I said, through each of the rosters and trying to identify those players for you and maybe help you drop that player on your roster that has been hanging on for too long that you keep waiting for them to turn around. Because the most likely scenario is if the player hasn't performed well in the first 30 games or 35 games, they're probably not going to turn it around in the last 45 games. Sound good?
Sounds good to me.
All right, so Denver Nuggets. Do you want to take a guess at, to this point, who has been the Denver Nuggets' best player in 8 category rankings?
Well, I would guess Nurkic, but he just came back because that's your boy. I'm going to guess Will Barton.
Will Barton. How high do you think Will Barton has ranked so far this season?
I'm going to guess 64th.
He's been the 48th best player thus far. I just want to make sure I have this right. Yep. He's number 48 thus far in per game averages in 8 category leagues. That's got to be the most surprising outcome of this season, at least for me. I'm still not sure he's a legitimate NBA player, having watched him for a long time in Portland, but man, he's done some really exciting things in Denver in 36 games. And I, again, you know, based on the premise of my setup here, I think we're at the point of the season where we can't say it's a fluke, it won't continue. I think we're going to have to start saying, unless the playing time creeps down, which I think is a possibility, like as long as he's playing the 30 minutes a game that he's been playing, I think he's going to keep putting up this kind of production. So far this season, he's averaged 16 points, 6 rebounds, 2.5 assists, 1.7 three-pointers, 1 steal, and 0.4 blocks, shooting 45% from the field goal percentage and 83% from the line. Can you think of a player that's more like a been more valuable, who's this valuable, that's been more of a surprise than Barton?
I definitely can't.
Yeah, like I'm sure that nobody drafted him coming into the season.
That's right. Good. ESPN lists him as the third string point guard or the third string shooting guard behind Randy Foy.
Interesting.
So you know, there's a fun fact for you.
Well, I think, I mean, he doesn't start, does he?
No.
He started one game this season.
If there's so one thing, though, I think it's going to come down, it's going to be the threes. He's shooting 38.6% from three, and he's never shot anywhere close to that in his career.
Yeah, but wouldn't you say, like, I don't know, like, how can you feel like it's going to turn around if for the 35 games he's shot this well?
Well, I mean, like, I guess –
I get what you're saying, that, yeah, like – he hasn't done this before, but
I guess I'm not saying that like he's going to massively drop. I just think that like I don't want to say like he's gotten lucky, but I think that people are going to start guarding him more at the 3-point line. Like, you know, they weren't really seeing him as a threat at the 3-point line because the percentages have been so bad up to this point. So they've been kind of slagging off of him a little bit. And now I think that they're going to start respecting him as a decent 3-point shooter, and they're going to start trying to chase him off the line some.
That would be interesting to like do some research on like NBAstats.com and see if like he's gotten a disproportionate share of open shots. I guess that's a possibility. I do worry, like, as the Nuggets kind of recover and more of their players get healthy, if his minutes would dwindle down a little bit, with Moutier coming back and with Gary Harris has missed a little bit of time. And
I think the big problem is they have no small forward other than Gallinari, right? I mean, like, they got Mike and Allen, but does right? So, I mean, I guess they could play Nelson and Moutier together and like leave Gallo out there, and maybe he loses a few minutes. But
you know where he sits in our rest of season rankings?
Oh, I am looking at it right now. He is 59th in our rest of season rankings. He's up 158 spots from the preseason.
Wow. I guess that's probably about right. Like, he may not be top 50, but, you know, there's a pretty good chance he's a top 75 player. I wonder what his – let me pull this up really quick.
And
I'm looking for Yahoo ownership percentage.
And if you believe that his numbers are going to hold exactly steady, he'd be higher, because in your rest of season projections, all the numbers are slightly lower than what he is already doing this season.
Yeah, just because this is totally different than anything he's done in any previous season. Yeah, I mean, it sounds weird to say, but I think you've got to consider that you've got to assume that he's going to keep being a top 75 player the rest of the way. And he's somebody you can definitely build around. He scores well for you. He doesn't really have like a great one category. He's more of an all-around contributor. But, you know, points and three-pointers are probably his two best categories at this point. And then he's just kind of solid across the board from there. He's not going to really hurt you anywhere. And those blocks for a guard certainly do help a lot. So, I don't know. I mean, if you can get, like, top 60 doesn't sound great, but that's basically a fifth-round pick in 12-team leagues. If you can get him in some sort of a trade, I can't imagine that his owner realizes that he's, maybe he does, I don't know.
All right, I got one for you, and I know you love this guy, okay? So who would you rather have the rest of the way, Will Barton or Goran Dragic?
That one's tough. It sort of depends on what you need, I think, because assists always are so hard to find, and Dragic, as bad as he's been, is going to still get you twice as many assists as Barton. But if I don't, you know, if I'm not in a weak position for assists, Barton probably has more value in a vacuum the rest of the way. Don't you think?
Your rankings reflect that. 59th for Barton, 64th for Dragic. I thought for sure you'd go for Dragic. I know how much you love Dragic.
Yeah, and like I said, you know, if you take in, like, I feel like three-pointers, which is where a lot of Barton's value is coming from right now, are easier to find on the waiver wire than assists.
Oh, man, so, assists are brutal sometimes to find on waiver wire.
Yeah, like I could go pick up Terrence Ross right now, and he's not going to play great, but he's probably still going to get me as many three-pointers as Barton. And I can't just go pick up Dragic's 5 or 6 assists on the waiver wire anywhere. But like I said, and you know, if I'm picking who's going to end up higher on the player rater or in, you know, rankings by the end of the season, I think it's probably Barton.
I'd have to agree.
Yeah. Denver's next best player that so far this season, and their leader in minutes per game has been Gallinari. And we kind of got tipped off on this before the season began. There were a lot of reports about how Gallinari was in the best health and shape that he's been in years. And I'm usually pretty skeptical of those reports, but there just seemed to be enough information coming out about how motivated and how in shape that he was that I guess you kind of start to believe it at some point. But he's been solid this season as well. 35 minutes a game. He's averaged 18 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 1.5 threes, and then 0.5 a steal and 0.5 a block per game. He's shooting only 40%, which is a problem. But he is he's shooting 87% from the line, and he's going to the line a ton. Really, that's his best category is free throw percentage. So if you're in a head-to-head league where you're punting free throw percentage, his value takes sort of a pretty big hit there. But again, points, three-pointers are his main categories. And then free throw percentage is his best one. But, I mean, historically, the problem that we've always had with Gallinari has been the injuries. And so far he's shown that he can be healthy. I think, again, you know, I think he's somebody that you want to – I don't expect anything to change. I think you want to build your team around Gallinari as he is.
I completely agree with that. I mean, the only drawback to Gallinari is, like you said, the steals and blocks. I mean, he only gives you 0.5 in each. So, I mean, like, you have to have kind of a very specific team to use Gallinari.
Yeah. Now, I think those are the only two, like, guys that you're putting in your starting lineup and you're playing from Denver almost no matter what. Like you said, Gallinari is maybe a little bit just because he does shoot so poorly from the field goal percentage that I guess you could make the case that you want to leave him out of your lineup, but he's a top 100 player, and I don't think there's too much question about that. Denver doesn't really have another guy that you're like, yeah, you've got to put him in your starting lineup and you've got to play him no matter what. I think the closest thing they have is probably Kenneth Faried next. So far this season, he's only played about 27 minutes per game. 12 points, 9 rebounds, 1 block, shooting 53% from the field and 54% from the line, which isn't ideal. I guess his owners at this point should just be glad that he's playing and he's not injured. But I don't know. What do you think? Do you think he's a guy that you should definitely have in your lineups no matter what, or is he more of a situational player or a stream player?
Well, I'm gonna let you play a little guessing game here. Where does he rank in your 8 category rest of season roto rankings?
I would guess he's right around the 100 mark.
Oh, you are too good. He is 96th. So yeah. I feel like the thing that's killing him this year more than any other year is that free throw percentage has dropped a ton. And so he already didn't really give you many steals. He doesn't give you any threes. And now that free throw percentage is down to 54%.
Yeah, it's not great.
I feel like he's a really like hard guy to own and
he's
start.
Not taking a ton of attempts, so it's not killing you. Like his 54% is not as bad as, well, if Andre Drummond ever got that high, it's not as bad as Drummond or Howard's or somebody who's going to the line more often, but it definitely doesn't help.
And then the 1.2 assists, I mean, that there's, I guess that, I mean, that's better than zero, like Hassan Whiteside, but it's not really any value. So, like, I mean, you're kind of checking the boxes of, like, category, he doesn't help you, category, doesn't help you, category, doesn't help you. And I think that definitely makes him really hard to be a consistent starter on your team.
Yeah, because really, I mean, all you're getting from him, the field goal percentage is great. Again, maybe you don't care about percentages, though. A lot of listeners we've recommended in head-to-head leagues don't worry about the field goal and free throw percentage. So you throw that out, and it's basically just he's good at rebounds and he's okay at blocks, and that's it. And I know that people have been really excited about Fareed for years, but this is basically who he is. He's never going to play as many minutes as you want him to play. He just never has in his career. Last season, so this season he's averaging 27 minutes per game. Last season he averaged 28 minutes per game. Season before he averaged 27. Season before he averaged 28 minutes per game. Like, he's just never going to get the 32, 33 minutes per game that he'd require to be a steady fantasy option. And he's just not going to put up the defensive stats that you think that he probably should put up as well. So while I think that he can be a serviceable and player and have fantasy value, I don't think he's a must own, must start type of player. I don't have a problem leaving him on your bench or trading him away or dropping him in certain situations. Like if you were punting blocks or something, I think there's almost no reason you'd want to hold on to Fareed.
I agree completely with that.
And really, he's the only other guy that I would say up to this point in the season has been a guy that you're like, you've wanted in your lineup that you want to be playing.
But now that changed, right?
Well, hold on. We'll get to him in just a second. I know who you're talking. Is there anybody else that we're missing that you feel like either has had fantasy value up to this point in the season or has the potential, if the minutes open up, to have a lot of fantasy value? I mean, Moutier, I know a lot of people were excited about coming in the season. And again, those assists are sort of hard to find. But he, you know, in 30 minutes a game, he's averaged 11 points, 6 assists, 3.5 rebounds, and a steal, which is just fine. And his 0.8 three-pointers is pretty terrible, but he's going to get 0.7 blocks. So I guess you could say in a head-to-head league, that's pretty good. Unfortunately, he's shooting 31% from the field and 68% from the free throw line. And again, you say, well, you know, I'm in a head-to-head league, I don't really care. When players start shooting that poorly, that gets them taken off the court. Like, that means that their team really can't play them as many minutes as they want to. And so, you know, he's coming back from his injury. It'll be interesting to see how he plays when he gets back. I think he should be back. He was supposed to play on Wednesday and he didn't. But I would expect him to be back any day now. And that's going to sort of make Jameer Nelson, who has been interesting for the last few games with Moutier out, I feel like they're going to both be not that valuable, kind of fringe streamer options.
I think they're going to split up the minutes too. But, I mean, like you said, if Moutier would happen to go down again, I think Jameer Nelson has some good value to kind of stream in. I mean, as a starter, he's averaging 1.4 threes, 4.5 rebounds, 6.3 assists, and 11.4 points, which, yeah. I mean, that's pretty good for someone you can just pick up off the wire. And then once, you know,
really enough, that's not that much different from what Moutier was giving you. And he is shooting better than Moutier, but he's only shooting 38% from the field on the season. So neither of them are over 40%, which is, you know, quite bad. So I don't think that either of them have a very high ceiling if either of them get the job. And I sort of kind of expect them to split minutes a little bit, which is really bad. So, you know, certainly if you play in a rotisserie league, don't go near Moutier, and Jameer Nelson's not that much better for percentages. And even in head-to-head leagues, I know the assists are tempting, but and there's not, I guess Moutier is the only other guy because he is giving you 0.7 blocks and a steal per game, which, you know, defensively can help you out a little bit. Although the steal for a guard, 1.0 steal is nothing to be too excited about.
I feel like if he continues to develop though and actually can start making some shots, I mean, that could be a pretty good line, especially if the minutes go up.
Yeah, I guess I'm kind of talking myself in circles. I guess I would mildly be interested in stashing him in a head-to-head league if it didn't mean I had to drop another good player, but I'm not actively trying to stash him, and I don't think you're playing him until things kind of turn around. All right, I think that's about it. I mean, Gary Harris is sort of a nice guy for steals, but he's proving to be not a very prolific fantasy producer, even though he's getting about 30 minutes per game. And beyond that, they just have a lot of other guys, Jokic and Lavernway. How do you say his name?
Joffrey Lavernier? That's how I say it.
They both had kind of interesting seasons and have done good things, but at the current level of their playing time, which is about 18 to 20 minutes each, they're both going to give you 9 points and 5 rebounds and not a whole lot else. And so that's not really worth owning in a standard league. I think they get pretty interesting in deeper leagues, but in standard leagues, I don't think they're even worth stashing because we know the front court is going to get more crowded now that Nurkic is back.
Well, that too, and like even when Nurkic was out, I mean, like it seemed like it was one game, it was one guy, then the next game was the other guy.
Right.
So like it got really hard to try to stash and play either one of them because the guy would play maybe 25 minutes and then the next game he'd play 10, and you're like, well, you know, or he'd just not produce anything if they got the minutes. And so, I mean, it was really hard to pick a lane.
Right. Yeah. And now with Nurkic back, it's going to be even harder. Now, if you listen to this podcast, you know that I've been saying for weeks that Nurkic is a guy that you want to pick up. He has a lot of potential, and he's certainly shown us that potential. His first game back, he only played 5 minutes, but since then, he's played 3 games. His first game, he played 15 minutes. He had 12 points, 8 rebounds, and a block, which is quite good in 15 minutes. Then in his second game, essentially his second game, he played 22 minutes. He had 15 points, 10 rebounds, and 5 blocks. And then on Wednesday night, he played another – oh, is that the – that's the 2 games.
You invented a game? You dreamt of that last game, right? That last game was all –
I'm so excited. I thought there was 3 games. So basically in 36 minutes, he has 27 points, 18 rebounds, and 6 blocks. Tell me that's not pretty good.
Wait, can you do that? Can you just add up games together and call them one game? Mark, I know you're drooling over this guy, but you can't just do stuff like that.
That's 36 minutes. That's what he – not that he would ever play that many minutes, but that's like what a – players play 36 minutes in one game.
How many points did he have in your dream game? Don't lie.
I was going to say 15 and 10, and I realized it was the exact same as the box what I was looking at. 27 points, 18 rebounds, and 6 blocks in his last 36 minutes of play.
If you listen to the last time we talked about him when he was first coming back, you made the comparison to Nerlens Noel, and I did some crazy research on that, and I could see Nerlens Noel of last year. I could see Nurkic doing the same exact thing if he gets the minutes. Now that's the question mark. Does he actually get the minutes?
Yeah, well, so the thing is with Nurkic, on Wednesday night, he played 22 minutes, which you would say, hey, that's not enough minutes to be fantasy relevant. But he had 15 points, 10 rebounds, and 5 blocks. So I think the minutes that Nurkic needs is about 24 to 26 to be ownable in standard leagues. And I think it's not a guarantee, but I think it's likely enough that I'm stashing this guy. I think let's see, he's only owned in 40% of Yahoo leagues. That's probably doubled since he returned. If you haven't picked up Nurkic yet, you certainly can't blame us, but go pick him up if you can. I don't think it's a guarantee that he'll be a top 75 player, but I think there's a very good chance he will be. He'll be able to average, I don't know what a fair expectation is, maybe 11 points, 8 rebounds, and then very good steals and blocks numbers, like close to 2 blocks and close to 1.5 steals, which is, you know, essentially what Nerlens Noel is giving you, and almost nobody else in the league can do stuff like that.
I think you talk about this a lot too. You're not going to find anybody with any more upside on the waiver wire. So like if you can pick this guy up and hold him, I mean, yeah, okay, maybe it doesn't work out, but he's got upside to be a really, really good fantasy contributor.
Like Robin Lopez is probably a good example of another player that you would think about picking up instead of Nurkic. Robin Lopez is still going to be there, or somebody like Robin Lopez is still going to be there next time. This is like one of the only examples of in the league of what we don't know exactly what we're going to get out of this player, but we know the upside is there because he's been injured for so long. So I think he's worth taking a gamble on. I think he's one of the few, like I was saying, I'm not taking a gamble anymore on Fareed. Like, I know what Fareed is. I don't think there's a lot of uncertainty or variance. Nurkic is one of the few guys that still has some uncertainty around him, and I think an upside worth taking a flyer on. And, you know, I think we'll know in 2 or 3 weeks. I don't think it will take too long. I think by the end of middle to end of January, you'll know what to expect out of Nurkic. And you'll know if, like, the crowded front court is going to inhibit him, or if inconsistent play or foul trouble is going to be a problem, or if he goes gangbusters in the next 2 weeks, you'll be thrilled that you picked him up. And if it, like I said, if it doesn't work, then you'll go pick up Robin Lopez again. Like, I don't think you're missing out much there. Anybody else that we need to talk about on Denver? I think that's all the guys. I mean, certainly don't need to talk about Hixon.
Who's listed on ESPN's depth chart as the starting center? I mean, this ESPN depth chart just, it's really doing me a lot of good right now. I don't know why I'm still looking at it.
Has he started a game this year? Yeah, I guess he started a few games in early November. But it's been, he hasn't started a game since December 8th.
Oh, you got to say the last fun name on there just for my amusement.
Uh-oh. Who's that? Kostas Papanikolaou?
Yes.
I can say his name.
I think you nailed it.
I like Papanikolaou. He's frisky.
All right.
I've actually seen that dude play in person, and I kind of like his game. But, yeah, I mean, getting 12 minutes a game is not gonna help out.
He does win the great name contest. He's got to be up there in the starting lineup of the NBA great names.
Certainly. All right, let's move on to Detroit. Been an interesting fantasy season in Detroit. They're sort of like the new version of the Trailblazers, where their coach is playing their starters huge, huge minutes. And so they have a number of really solid fantasy producers on their team. And that's led off by Reggie Jackson. If you listen to our podcast preseason, you are well aware that we expected Reggie Jackson to have a big season. He's averaging 20 points, six assists, 4 rebounds, 1.4 three-pointers, and just to steal a game. It's really the points and assists that you're looking for. He's also a solid contributor from the free throw line. He's been the 42nd best player this season. Just about, I'd say that's right in the range of where we expected him to be. Do you have that? Do you know where we ranked in preseason?
Preseason, you ranked him 33rd. In the rest of season rankings, he is up 8 spots to 25th.
Oh, interesting. I wonder what's bumping him up to 25th.
Well, I mean, you got some guys like Eric Bledsoe, obviously not missing a bunch of games.
Because and this is important. I mean, it's the fact that he's been as durable as he's been. He hasn't really ever missed significant time in the NBA due to an injury. And so my rankings take into account the fact that he's less likely to miss games than other players. So that's given a little boost. And the other guy, I mean, even though we expected him to be a very good player, he is Andre Drummond. He's been a monster this season. 18 points per game, 16 rebounds, 1.8 steals, 1.5 blocks, shooting 52% from the field and 36% from the free throw line. He is, That's got to be as bad of free throw percentages on 7.4 attempts. That's really miserable in rotisserie leagues. But
he's going to be the first guy since Rodman to average 16 rebounds. Yeah. Which, I mean, come on.
Just amazing. I mean, everything else is you're thrilled about. I think even though he's losing you the free throw percentage category in a rotisserie league, he's probably still worth owning. And a pretty valuable player in rotisserie leagues just because he's dominating and helping out in so many other categories. Not giving you much in assists and three-pointers, but, you know, we probably expected him to average 15 points and 13 rebounds or something, which is really good. And he's been markedly better. Like 18 points and 16 rebounds just doesn't happen. And then to get the steals and the blocks that are going along with him, he's been a great player. Actually, even if you take into account how poor his free throw percentage is, and it's quite poor, he's been a top 50 player so far this season in 8 category leagues. So,
and he's ranked 42nd in your rankings for the rest of the season. So, yeah.
That's really hard to do when you shoot as bad. Like I don't want to get too far into the math, but he's over 5 standard deviations negative in free throw percentage value. That's probably the most extreme, like the most amount of deviations anybody is in any category, positive or negative in the league.
But how good is the rebound deviation?
He's about 3.5. So he's actually worse at free throw percentage than he is good at rebound. Like, I think he's worse at free throws than anybody is good or bad at any other category. It's pretty remarkable. Like I'll bet if you took... It would be interesting if somebody did the math on this. I bet if you took Durant and Harden and put him on a team with Drummond, you would still be at a percentage that is low enough that you would be losing most free throw. Like, you would have 1 or 2 rotisserie points in most leagues.
I would think so. I mean, the 7.
It would be interesting if you took, like, the top 9 free throw percentage people and then put Drummond with them. And figure out where that percentage would rank in most fantasy leagues. If any listeners have an extra minute on their hands and want to do something interesting, you can let us know where that would come out at.
Tweet it at them. Give them the Twitter. Give it to them now so they can tweet it at you.
Yeah. Tweet. We'll retweet it and share it with everybody else. You can tweet me at Mark F. Roberts, Mark with a C, or at Tyler Watt. Well, yours is Watsy, right?
Yep.
Watsy 444.
Four. Yep. You didn't say your line. You got to say your line now. It's Mark with a C, like.
Oh, like Marc Gasol.
There you go. You got to throw that in there.
And the other guy that's been a pretty valuable contributor, in part just because of the bulk minutes he's playing, is Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. He's playing almost 38 minutes a game. He's scoring 14 points. Grabbing 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 1.5 steals, and 1.5 three-pointers per game. So he's been the 90th best player this season. Again, I guess depending on your team build, you don't have to have him in your starting lineup, but I would guess he's worth owning in most leagues and worth keeping on your roster most everywhere. Do you disagree with – I'm assuming you agree with Reggie Jackson and Drummond. What's your take on Caldwell-Pope?
I think Caldwell Pope is the guy you're probably starting to. I mean, he's ranked 62nd in your 8 category rest of season Roto rankings. I feel like he doesn't really hurt you anywhere, and he's just gonna get so many minutes that he's gonna give you something.
He plays every single game, and he plays 38 minutes a game. Like, it's almost impossible to play that number of games and that many minutes and not be worth owning. So, I mean, I don't think that there's a big ceiling here. Like, I don't think you're expecting a breakout of any kind at this point. But 1.5 threes, 1.5 steals, and solid scoring average is nothing to sneeze at. That's pretty good.
I completely agree with that.
Yeah. Another one of those threes and steals guys, though, right?
We got a lot of them.
There's a lot of guys in the league like that. Is there anybody else that you feel like has got to be in people's fantasy lineups?
Well, what's your take on Marcus Morris? Let's hear it. I want to hear what you got to say about him, and then I'll give you mine.
is, again, he's a guy who's playing a lot of minutes, 36 minutes a game so far this season. He's giving you 14 points, 5 rebounds. So in some ways, he looks like Contavious Caldwell-Pope, but he's not giving you the amount of threes and assists. He's only averaging the amount of threes and steals. He's only averaging 1 3 and 1 steal per game. Not doing a lot in the blocks category. So if you kind of break that down and think about which categories is he above replacement level in, it's not really any of them, right? Like, he's about replacement level in points. He's about replacement level in threes, rebounds. He's a little below replacement level in assists, blocks, steals, field goal percentage and free throw percentage. He doesn't really offer much. I mean, in a way, he's like the embodiment of a replacement level fantasy player, which to me means he's just a guy that you're going to stream. You pick up when you need him, you drop him when you don't. And again, there's not a lot of upside to a guy that's playing almost 37 minutes a game. It's not like a breakout is coming or, you know, a bunch more minutes are coming. This is probably the best he can give us. And I think it's roughly a replacement level value across the board.
All right. So what are you guessing he's ranked in your rest of season ranks? Let's hear it.
He's probably, just because, again, he's another guy that hasn't sat out. He hasn't missed any time. He's been pretty durable this season. I bet he has a fairly favorable games projection, which is going to bump him up our rankings. I would guess like 110.
You, sir, are quite a ways off. He is ranked 76th for the rest of the season.
Let's see. Okay. Yeah, and he's valued at $12. Okay.
I feel like, it, like you said, I mean, like, there's no outstanding category, but it's like almost every category that he's giving you something. And I feel like, especially in a roto league, like, now the 42% isn't great, but I mean, he's taken 12 attempts, which is quite a few, but I feel like in every other category, he's giving you a little bit of something. And, you know, that all adds up at the end of the year, especially if he's not going to miss any games. I mean, maybe he's just like a bench guy that you stream in. Like, I mean, I don't think he was drafted in that many leagues except for, you know, deeper leagues. And so I feel like he could be a guy that you could just kind of put in there and, you know, you're going to get a little bit of every category from him.
Yeah. I just don't think he's somebody that you've got to keep on your roster that you would feel bad at. Like, I wouldn't feel bad about dropping him, I guess.
Oh, no. In a 10 or 12 team league, I mean, I could see like cutting him and kind of streaming him on and off and on and off. But I mean, in weeks where they play 4 or 5 games, I mean, yeah, that's going to be some decent production in every category for you.
No, that's what I mean. So when I say he's the embodiment of a replacement level player, like, replacement level doesn't mean he doesn't have any value. It just means basically he should be replaceable with somebody on the waiver wire. So I think, you know, he can come in and be a valuable contributor, not hurt you anywhere in any category, which is, it's pretty valuable, you know, has some value, but at the same time, I'm not saying he's a guy that I want to.
You're not guarding him, right? You're not guarding him. You're flipping him on and off and on and off.
If somebody wants to get me something for him in a trade,
right,
I'm happy to do that. Like, oh, like, could you get Will Barton for him?
You probably could. He's the kind of guy I throw in a trade, like, as a throw in, like, to make the other guy think like, oh, he's getting like 3 guys for 2 or 2 guys for 1, like, to like make him think he's getting something good. And he's really just getting like a guy I was going to cut in a week anyways.
Right. Exactly. And I think as far as guys that you want to keep on your team, I think that's basically, I'm not saying that you wouldn't stream other players or stash other players, but just as guys that you want to build your fantasy team around, I think that's basically it for Detroit. Nobody else on the team gets big minutes. They basically just play those 4 guys big minutes every night. And then Ersan Ilyasova is getting 27 minutes per game. Stanley Johnson's getting 22 minutes per game. And then nobody else is really anywhere close to 20 minutes per game or a higher.
Is that the worst bench in the league?
Yeah, probably.
I mean, like, I can see why everyone plays like 35, 36 minutes here. It's like, would you want to put these other guys in the game?
No, I mean, so who are we looking at? Stanley Johnson, I guess, is he's a rookie, but he definitely has some upside. Brandon Jennings comes back. Is that interesting at all to you?
Brandon Jennings has always been a good guy for assists. And like you were saying earlier, I mean, assists are hard to come by. But unless he gets traded, I really don't see him getting huge minutes. Like, I mean, he might be a guy I'd stream in, like, at the end of a week. Like, okay, I need 5 assists. I think he's got a shot to give them to you. And even in a short amount of time, I mean, hit that game just the other night where, what, he didn't play that many minutes. And he, I mean, he played 18 minutes, got 6 assists.
Right. Yeah. So. And that hasn't been his only game. So he's played between 15 and 20 minutes all 5 games since he's been back. And he's gotten 4 assists, 3 assists, 3 assists, 6 assists, and 2 assists. So, yeah. I mean, he had that you're mentioning that good game he had against Orlando where he played 18 minutes. He had 17 points, 6 assists, 3 three pointers. So certainly if he got traded to the right situation, I think he could be interesting. So I guess you could stash him if you had a spot where, like, if you were desperate for a point guard and you just wanted to wait until the trade deadline to see if he got to the right place. I don't know if there's a lot of teams that would definitely start Jennings. So that might limit his upside a little bit. But you know, I guess you could do that. I'm not actively doing that. I think I'd wait until it's a little closer to the trade deadline to do that. And then you're right. There's not a whole lot else going on. Steve Blake.
Aaron Baines, Anthony Tolliver.
Yeah. None of those guys are going to do a lot for your fantasy team or your real life team, really. I guess we're okay. I'm okay streaming Ilias Silva. I mean, he's just an inconsistent guy. He's getting you 11 points, 5 rebounds, 1.5 3-pointers, and not a whole lot else.
If I need like a crazy 20, 25-point game on a Sunday and they're playing, I've actually streamed him in because every once in a while he just seems like he gets
– worked out?
It actually did once. There was one game, and it was like right at the beginning of the season, and I was like, I feel like this guy sometimes just pulls one out like out of nowhere. And I'll try to find the game. He had like 25 points.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, it worked. And I mean, then I tried it a couple other times, and it's not gone well.
I mean, here's his stretch of games, just his scoring totals for a stretch of games in late December. He had 18 points, 6 points, 5 points, 9 points, and then 19 points. So it's hard to ever determine whether you're getting good Ersan or bad Ersan. So I think you'd only do that if you were in a position where you had a low chance to win and you just needed a really high variance player. I think that's probably what Ersan is at this point, but you know, he's going to get some playing time and you know, he's going to shoot some 3-pointers. So if you're just looking, I guess, for a Hail Mary, he's a good option. So I guess in conclusion, you're keeping Jackson Drummond, keeping Tavis Caldwell-Pope in your starting lineup. I think Morris and Ilias Silva are just stream guys. I don't think they have a lot more upside than that. And even though Stanley Johnson's look good for stretches, I mean, he's only playing 22 minutes, 8 points, 4 rebounds, shooting 38% from the field. I don't feel like that's going to improve this season. I could see him being a good player down the road, a good fantasy player down the road. But like, if you've been holding on to Stanley Johnson for some reason, if you've been waiting for his breakout, I think that comes next season or the next season. That's not coming this season. I would go ahead and move on from him.
I agree with that. I mean, I don't think he's just ever going to get the minutes unless there's an injury or, you know, something unforeseen that happens that is going to lead him to fantasy goodness.
I think the only guy that you could potentially stash on this team is Brandon Jennings. And really you're just hoping, I think, for a trade. I don't think there's any situation where he and Jackson get enough minutes where they're both fantasy relevant. I think what you're worried about if you're a Jackson owner is, does Brandon Jennings cut into his Reggie Jackson's playing time? Like, Jackson's already only playing 31 minutes a game. That's sort of the ceiling that Stan Van Gundy is going to play a point guard. Like, if you look at his Orlando rotations, rarely did any guards go over 30 minutes per game, which is frankly why I am so surprised that Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is so high. But I think it's possible that as Jennings returns, he could get up into the 22 minute range, which is sort of where he's not going to be useful, but he's going to be on the cusp of being useful. And that hurts Jackson and Caldwell Pope's value just a little bit.
But I'm just hoping Jennings gets traded to the Knicks.
Something to watch. Why is that?
Just because I think they'll start him at point guard. And he'll get some fantasy goodness.
Yeah, I guess. Well, so is he better in the triangle than Jose Calderon?
I don't know. I feel like they think he's better, which doesn't mean he's better. Just I feel like Phil Jackson would – if Phil Jackson's going to trade for him, I think he would think he's better.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's do one more team here. This will be a – even though this team probably has the most amount of fantasy value on it, it's going to be a pretty quick one to go through. It's Golden State Warriors. Steph Curry, we know, has been very good. But let me just read you these stat lines again because – frankly, I just can't read him enough. He's playing 34 minutes a game. He's averaging 29 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists, 4.5 three-pointers, 2.2 steals, shooting 51% from the field and 90% from the free throw line. Those are like staggering numbers.
If he starts blocking shots, then it's just over. That's right.
He is so in our rest of season rankings. Not only do I include rankings, I include auction values, so how much the rest of season projection is worth. So number two is James Harden at $64 right now. Number three is Kevin Durant at $61. Then Russell Westbrook at $59. Steph Curry is at $83 right now. That means he's a full $20 better than even the second best player. So James Harden is at $64. The player that he is $20 better than is ranked, I guess it's not that far, is ranked ninth. So there's a big gap between 2 and 9 as there is between 1 and 2. Kind of crazy.
It's just insane how well he's been playing this year. And now he's got this chin injury and he keeps like putting up awesome stats, even while playing through this injury.
Now, the next guy... The second best guy on Golden. So you're definitely playing Curry. This next guy you're definitely also playing always is Draymond Green. We were recommending him as a second round pick preseason, and he's actually exceeded our expectations. He's averaging so far this season, averaging 35 minutes, 15 points a game, which is good, not great, but everything else is great. 9.5 rebounds, 7.4 assists, which is totally unexpected and unbelievable this so far this season. 1.3 steals, 1.4 blocks, and 1.6 three-pointers, shooting 46% from the field, which is good for him and is actually just above the replacement level, and then 70% from the free throw line, which is not great, but it is not going to kill you considering the number of attempts he's taking. But those... Nobody has a better, like if you could talk about the five counting categories in fantasy besides points, I'm talking about three-pointers, rebounds, assists, steals, and blocks. Nobody's better at those stats than Draymond Green has been. He's been the 11th best player so far this season. I don't know what else to say about him other than just talk about how good he's been.
He has really been amazing. And like you said, the assists have been amazing. And I think that, I mean, he's ranked 9th.
Totally unexpected, right? Like, I didn't see this coming. Did you?
Well, and the percentage, the field goal percentage is really unexpected jump too there. I mean, no, I mean, he doubled his assists.
So, yeah, so his assists, let me give you his assists per 36 minutes because there were times over the course of his career, there were times where he played limited minutes. In 2013, or in NBA season 2012-2013, he was averaging 1.8 assists per 36 minutes. In 13-14, it jumped to 3 assists per 36 minutes. Last season, it was a very good 4.2 assists per 36 minutes. This season, he's up to 7.6 assists per 36 minutes. I mean, it's just like he's basically almost doubled every year in assists.
And he's top 10 in the league in assists, including point guards, I think, the last time I checked.
That's insane. That's really crazy. He's probably a first-round value going forward. So, like I said, even though we tout him as a second-round pick, he's outperformed that ranking. Hopefully you were able to grab him. I think we may even have given the advice to if you were picking Curry, to pick Draymond Green with him as like a good combo of a good combo way to hit all the categories, because Curry's scoring and Draymond's lack of scoring would complement each other pretty well. If anybody did that, they are in definitely good shape.
He's sixth in the league in assist. That's just insane.
That's amazing. And the other guy who's definitely a top 50 player, although he hasn't sort of performed up to expectations, is Klay Thompson. He's sort of running into form. He's averaging 33 minutes a game, 21 points, 4 rebounds, 2.3 assists, 3 three-pointers, a half a steal, and 0.8 blocks. And really at this point, the only thing that you can complain about that you expected to be a little better is the steals. It's tough to own a guard who's not going to get you a steal per game, and he's only getting you one half of a steal per game. They're all going to Curry and Green, I guess. Sort of makes up for it with blocks. He's getting you nearly like a block a game from the guard position, which is helpful. So still a very, very good player. But if you drafted him in the second round, particularly early in the second round, he hasn't given you quite what you were hoping for. But still, if he's on your team, you're starting him, you're playing him, and he's one of your best players.
I feel like he's maybe rounding into form too. I mean, he had that little bit of an injury to the back at the beginning of the season. And
yeah, has that – let me check here. Has that jumped up a little bit? Let's see, last couple of weeks.
He's hit six three-pointers in the last two or last three games?
Well, I mean
– 3 out of the last four, 6 three-pointers in a game, and 3 out of the last four.
Yeah, so the last four games, he's averaged 33 points a game with 5 three-pointers per game. So definitely not going to turn your head at that. But the steals, even in the last week, those last four games, he's only averaging – he's only had 2 steals in those 4 games. So you love the points. You love the three-pointers. You're happy about the blocks. And I think the steals, though, are a little bit tough to swallow. And again, why he's not higher up. But there's so many guys that are good at steals that we've mentioned, like where a lot of their value comes from just steals, that I feel like you could add one of those guys to your team if you have Klay Thompson and sort of even things out. Are there any of the other players, and I think the candidates here, really the only other players that are playing big minutes for the Warriors are Harrison Barnes and Andre Iguodala. Do you feel like either of those two guys are guys that need to be owned in every league and need to be in a starting lineup in almost every league? Or are they more low ceiling stream option guys?
All right, let's go through this here. I think that Iguodala, all right, now he's ranked 92nd in your A category rest of season Roto rankings. I feel like he's a good source of assists and steals if you need someone who, you know what I mean, just need an assist and steals filler in that kind of league. Maybe your point guards aren't the best, so you're trying to fill assists.
Or maybe you pair him with Klay Thompson, who's bad at those two categories.
There you go, and then you got yourself. Now, the points really hurt you. I mean, he's only averaging – in your projections, he's 7.6 points a game.
That's what he's averaged so far this season.
So, I mean, that's obviously not good. But I
feel – your expert opinion?
My expert opinion is that is not good. But I feel like the assists – can be worth it. I mean, it all depends on around your build and things like that. But
and I think for that reason, that's why he's, even though he might rank as a top 100 player, I think he's kind of fallen into that. He's a stream option guy, just because the ceiling is not like, they're not going to play in big minutes. Even if there is an injury, there's almost zero chance of a trade here. So there's no role change. There's no way he's going to get to a place where he's scoring 12 to 15 points a game or, you know, upping his rebounds and assist averages for any sort of reason. I think this is what he's going to give you very steady the rest of the season. If Barnes goes down or Curry goes down or Thompson goes down, they're going to fill from the back of the bench and they're going to keep Andre Iguodala in that role. And so I think that he has value and he should be streamed often. Like, I think depending on what you need in a given week in the head-to-head matchup, I think you should be streaming into Iguodala, but I don't think you're afraid to drop him either.
I mean, I completely agree with that. And Harrison Barnes, I kind of feel the exact same way about. I mean, he does a few categories that you can go, okay, well, that's big help. I mean, the 51% from the field for a small forward, I mean, that's pretty nice. But, I mean, 5 rebounds, 1.9 assists, a steal.
He's another guy that's just not going to hurt you anywhere, really.
Right.
He's getting you roughly replacement level value almost in every category, sort of like Marcus Morris was.
So, I mean, yeah, I mean, like, I don't have a problem streaming him, but at the same time, it's not like a guy that I'm saying, oh, I need this guy on my team.
Yep. I think they're both good stream options, either to have on the end of your bench and to stream in when you can, or if you just pick him up off the waiver wire and play him for a few games or a few weeks and then drop him if you need to. I think that's, and I would say Bogut, actually, even though he's only playing 21 minutes a game and scoring 5 points a game, he really falls into that category too, because he helps you in a couple of key categories. He's going to get you 7 rebounds a game. He's going to get you almost 2 blocks a game. And he's going to shoot 64% only on a couple of shots, but that can help tip field goal percentage in your direction at the end of a week. So where Barnes and Iguodala, like, I think you're okay to keep him on the end of your bench if you want to and sort of stream in that way. I think Bogut is strictly a guy that you pick up on the end of a week, at the end of a week, and put in if you need blocks. Like if the Warriors have a game on Sunday and you're worried about the block category, you pick him up, or the rebounds category, you pick him up, and you figure you're going to be able to win with his help.
Well, yeah, and you figure you're going to get a decent number of rebounds. I mean, he's averaging 7 a game. Plus, like you said, he's not going to kill your field goal percentage. So if you're barely winning that, he's a safe guy to pick up and go, okay, well, he's only going to get 4 attempts, but he's going to probably make 3 out of 4 maybe. I mean, like, he's averaging 2.6 out of 4 for the season. So it's not out of the question.
And I think those 6 guys are pretty much, for starting the leagues, all you need to worry about the rest of the season. I don't think Livingston is interesting in a standard league. I don't even think Festus Ezeli is interesting in a standard league, even though those guys are both playing roughly 20 minutes a game. I don't think either of them have the sort of role that you're looking for to own on your team. I don't think anything's changing there. I mean, those guys are rolling right along. They've only lost, like, what, 2 games at this point. They're not going to change anything, and I doubt they're going to make any roster moves. So
we can talk about one crazy headline from the team that I heard the other day. If you want to, that Maurice Spates wanted a trade, that he doesn't think he's getting enough playing time and that he wants a trade. And I'm like, why would you want to trade from the best team in the league?
I guess he's got his ring. He wants to get paid now.
But that's it. Like, he wants to just get out there and like try to dominate. But
he feels like he could take a lot of shots for the 76ers probably.
Well, they're looking for someone, but I mean, come on, like, I mean, has Maurice Spates ever been like that good? That, like, what's he think he's gonna do?
He has one of the highest usage rates in the NBA, which I think tells you all that you need to know about him.
He's also only ever gotten 22 minutes a game, so I mean, like, that's a career high. Like, I don't understand why he thinks that if he goes to someone else, he's gonna get to play a lot of minutes.
Beyond me, man. All right, I think that's all we're going to be able to get to tomorrow. Daniel Green will be back with me, and we'll start with Houston and talk about the Rockets, talk about the Pacers, and maybe do some Clippers and Lakers if we get that far. Hopefully this has been helpful, this series of podcasts going through each team and talking about the players that you need to own and the ones that you can stream and drop. If you've liked it so far, please let us know. Reach out to us on Twitter. You can talk to me at Mark F. Roberts. That's Mark with a C, like Marc Gasol. Or you can leave a rating and review on iTunes and let us know what you think. Tyler, you want to tell them where they can find you on Twitter?
You can find me on Twitter at Watsy4444. And don't forget to check out Mark's rankings on the website and to check out my article on the website.
That's right. DailyFantasyBasketball.com.
Podcast. Please. You forgot the podcast.
DailyFantasyBasketballPodcast.com. Thank you.
There you go. We got it now.
That website I just gave is another website somewhere else. So go check that place out, though. Come to our website. Check them both out.
Let us know which one's better.
Yeah, rate and review the podcast, like I said. And we'll be back tomorrow with some more fantasy talk. Until then, hopefully you get to enjoy some basketball games. And we'll see you all later. Thanks. Bye.